cable news, noisy, boring, out of touch. That's why Salem News Channel is different. We keep you in the know, streaming 24/7 for free. Home to the greatest collection of conservative voices like Dennis Prager, Jay Sekulow, Mike Gallagher, and more. Salem News Channel is unfiltered and unapologetic. Watch anytime on any screen at snc.tv and local now, channel 525.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All righty, we are back, and tonight we have with us Ray Lautenschlager, and with him is Michael Messick, and they are with the Ohio Fathers' Rights Advocates, and they're talking about the problem here that we have, and not just in Ohio, but in this country, with fatherless children. Folks, believe me, the major reason that these children are involved in crime and whatever is because they come from fatherless homes. So go ahead and pick it up there, Ray.
Well, I did some research, and pardon me. If you go back to Johnson's, when the Civil Rights Act passed, the first program that he rolled out after that was his quote-unquote war on poverty. That created the welfare system. At that time, what they did was they sent a social worker out to the house. They would walk into the house and tell these women, we can't give you any help or benefits unless you remove that man from this house. Now, here's a couple that's been together, and they're telling them to remove the father simply because they're going to give them help. Because they're poor. There's where the start of the destruction of the American family came. That was the strongest start. And they have been taking full advantage of it for the years. We just cannot continue this way.
Pastor Ernie, may I interject?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've been working with Ray. I just wanted to put in my two cents. I'm more of a statistical guy. Ray knows the law way better than I do. But, you know, I just wanted to thank you first for actually taking the time to address this number one society issue that's facing the United States, if not the world. So I wanted to thank you. You're the only one. I'm telling all the people out there, he is the only one that took the time and effort to call me back. And I just wanted to point out that all these people that are afraid, and the fathers especially, you must fight. Now, my personal situation, I don't want to get too personal. I only get 21% of the time with my son. Okay? I've never been unwilling, unfit, or unable to have my son. This court, and I'm in a Trumbull County court, they took my son away from me, and I've spent over $20,000 trying to get my son on an equal basis. And that's been 6 or 7 years now. And Ray and I have talked about this over and over. The starting point should be 50-50. But if you look at the statistical data, children always do better when the father is the primary custodial parent, period. You can't argue the facts. If you don't believe anything Ray and I are saying, look it up yourself. The data is overwhelming what's going on. Yet I can't get any legislators to get on board. I only got one in all the years I've been trying to do this, and that was Mike O'Brien, and he was a Democrat. I cannot get anybody to get on board, from Michael Rooley to Sandra O'Brien to Lauren McNally, They all talk a good game, but they never come by. These, our children are suffering because of this. These legislators who are afraid to take on the Bar Association, the judges, and everybody wants to stay status quo. So if you look at the statistics, please, you'll see it is overwhelming that this has to change, and it has to change now. And Ray is spot on with all the legal ease, but I'm just giving you a personal story of mine, and I've heard it from many other fathers. And it's the same old story, same old song and dance. So I don't know where to go. That's why I contacted you, and I believe, you know, we should be pounding these legislators into the ground until they get this done or remove them. If you got to term limit these judges. We got judges in a court system, family court, for 30 years they've been on the bench. We got other judges that don't have any children and are deciding the fate of my family as well as thousands of other families. So we need change, and we need it now. So, and I think Ray, you know, with his introduction of this new bill that we're working on, I think he has most of the answers. There's no pure answer, but it's a lot better than what we have now, which is absolutely going to destroy these children.
Michael and Ray, let me tell you this. See, if I were king, I would know exactly what to do if I had that power, because, you see, because of what I know, you see, I know that God gave us the divine institution of marriage and a family. And I know that government has no place in that. And so when it comes to marriage and the family, that belongs to the church. That should be right under the church. And when it comes to divorce, that also should be. Now, the Biblical Law Association, often they will represent people that are married without a state license. If people come to you and they want to get married, you don't have to give them a state license. You have a paper that you write. It's a disclosure. And on there it says that this marriage, this union between Mr. Smith and Mrs. Jones, is recognized by Jesus Christ and his church, but this is not recognized by the state of Ohio or any other state. In other words, they're keeping the state out of their marriage and out of their life. And so what happens if they decide they have to get a divorce? They can't go to the state. They have to go to the church. And now, you see here, you have this thing called a no-fault divorce. Well, you know, that's not what God says. What the Lord says is that here, there's only a very few reasons that one can get a divorce, okay, for adultery or desertion or whatever. But for fornication and adultery. And so here today, this no-fault divorce is, you know, they can get divorced for anything. And this is exactly what the Lord Jesus spoke about when Moses had given a paper for divorcement because, well, in that case, these men were divorcing their wives for any reasons. Today, it's kind of turned around in the other direction because of what the society, the influence of society has had. I mean, you have sometimes the mother is the adult and the father is the bum, and the other times it's the father that's the good guy and the mother's not. I mean, it just happens there. Sometimes neither one of them, you know. And the reason for that is because of biblical illiteracy. But that should be left up to the church. The government needs to stay out of the institution of marriage and divorce and the family. They've got no business being there. And the corruption in our judicial system is above and beyond measure. That's what I have to say.
Well, what you're referring
to. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Ray.
All right, Pastor Joe here.
Go ahead.
My best friend runs a prison ministry and been doing it for about 30-some years. Same thing. The most of all the people he deals with came from broken homes, raised by a mother. Often drug and alcohol were involved, even mothers trying to use drugs, alcohol, to get the children to behave. Many of them became addicts from their mothers, trying to use a bribery method of discipline. And I've seen same thing with this communist revolution that's going on. The attack had to be to break down the family. It's one of the targets starting way back with the Fabian socialists, the idea of creating, you know, men against women. They use any kind of old against young, rich against poor, black against white. So much of this is part of that cultural war trying to tear down Western civilization so we can foment a communist revolution and that destruction of the family. And you find almost no one talking about it, no one aware of it. Politicians, most of them, glaze over if you mention Fabian socialism, cultural Marxism. Even most pastors are totally ignorant of what's going on. We're sitting in the middle of a communist revolution, and part of the reason it's being successful is what you gentlemen are talking about, the corruption, the legal system, the breakdown of the family, the crime, all these things help to weaken the Western civilization to fall to communism. So there is a big picture, there's a macro picture and a micro picture, and it all comes from we're losing our faith in God and governments becoming the new God, and the minute that happens, all these evil things really start to triumph in our society.
You're absolutely
Hillary,
right.
Throw that out there.
Hillary Clinton wrote a book, and the title was, if I'm not mistaken,
It takes a village to raise a child.
That village was the government.
Yep.
It wasn't the people around you.
Nope. In fact, let me throw something at you when you brought that up. You talk about Hillary Clinton. She came out and she said, she wrote this in the Times, it came in the Times Dispatch, Richmond's Times Dispatch, on reforming the nation's schools. We need a remaking of the American way of politics, government, and life indeed. We no longer see the teaching of facts and information as the function of education. Building a new kind of people must be part of our education. What does that tell you?
We've been manipulating education for years. We've actually dumbed people down rather than taught them.
Right, exactly.
It's a major issue. It's a major issue for a lot of people that are currently running for office. We can't. The school system has failed. Pastor Ernie, you're close to my age. I'm 68 years old. I grew up, they were starting to teach quote unquote new math. Well, my father was taught old, what they called old math at that time. And I learned my math from him. And I kept getting things marked wrong. New math required you showed all your work and this and that. I can do complex calculations in my head. He's talking to my math teacher in junior high school. And he said, why are you marking him wrong when his answers are right? Well, he's not doing it the way we're being taught. He said, but his answers are right. That's all that matters. And she finally went, yeah, I guess you're right. I come from a family of school teachers. In fact, I taught substitute school at junior high school, and I taught at a community college. Not a whole lot, but enough. Teaching is difficult, and they've made it more difficult. There was a former state rep, I mean, God rest him. He's been gone for a couple of years. I love talking to him. His name was Andy Thompson. And we were talking about Common Core education, that whole principle. And I told him one day, I said, you know, I said, I could write a legal position paper on just using fundamental rights case law that says everything, that gives every parent the right to opt out of Common Core. And he looked at me and he said, with what you know, I have no doubt that you could. And I'll go back when Kasich became governor.
Oh, boy.
Gordon Gee, who was president of Iowa State, was asking for extra money for the university because they had to go back and teach basic educational skills that these kids should have learned in high school. Things like math as being one of the skills, had to teach them again when they hit the college level. Now that tells you education is failing.
We've done some programs on the Common Core. In fact, I had one of their books there, and I thought it was interesting because the question was, what is 6 times 7? What does 6 times 7 amount to? And what do you think the answer was? If I was
the
to ask you guys,
42.
That's right, but not with Common Core. Okay.
Correct.
With Common Core, it's one with 42 zeros behind it.
Yeah.
Now that is that's really amazing. Now let me ask you this: you talked about this, you were introducing this legislation. What is that legislation you refer to?
Okay, we haven't gotten to introduce our bill yet. It is written. I have taken into consideration, and, you know, I talk to fathers, I talk to mothers, I talk to grandparents. We're pushing very hard to get it introduced. Unfortunately, there's a bill that is in committee that was introduced at the beginning of the year, beginning of last year. It has now been amended again. The bill is just stalled, dead, going nowhere. It is one of the worst pieces. I talked to Representative Skindell. I'd worked with him on, you know, legislation before, a bill that I'd written that was introduced. And Michael and I were talking about that bill. You know, it was the same bill as had been introduced the session before. And we both came to the same conclusion that rather than reducing litigation, it was actually going to increase litigation. The way that the bill that's sitting in committee right now is written, what used to be the factors for determining custody, you have to argue each one of them separately. Now they went and they amended it. Now if the mother is breastfeeding, the father gets no overnight.
Well, why not? Don't you know that nowadays men can breastfeed too? Haven't you listened to NBC?
Well, yeah. Yeah, if you listen to the ones that were opposed to HB 68, that confused bunch.
Hey, tell him how many times we have, the state, in the last 20 years, you've heard of or tried to introduce legislation. In the last 20 years, I believe there were 13 bills proposed, or 12, excuse me, I might be off. And tell them how many even got anywhere. Go ahead. I know you can tell them. I'll tell them. Zero.
Right.
Right, Ray?
Right. The organization.
Zero. So what's that tell you?
The organization that got behind this piece of legislation and got two state reps to introduce it this year is from Massachusetts, one of the most liberal states in the country. Oh, but we have people in Ohio. Well, funny, you contact them or try and contact them, and they just blow you off. They can't answer a question. They testified in front of committee and lied about certain aspects of Ohio law because they missed single words. They were asked, in fact, my rep brought up a point that I was starting to go through with his father down in Claremont County. They asked if there was any consideration in the bill for what should be done when there's no custody order in place, yet the child is disabled, and the parents, you know, are still going through this, and they couldn't answer. So what did I do? I went back in. I made an adjustment. I've had fathers that are having problems with schools and getting records. I made an adjustment. I had fathers that have had problems with guardian ad litem who are supposed to be the voice of the child before the court. They're supposed to do an investigation.
Boy, that has changed. It's all about money now, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Let me ask you this.
I made adjustments there on what they can do and how they have to approach their reports. The next money grabber is parenting coordinator. You want a babysitter for, do two adults need babysitting? That's exactly what they are.
Okay, let me ask you this. This legislation that you've been working on.
I'm sorry, can anybody hear me? The best interest of the child is the judge's secret weapon, which is not a secret weapon, but that he uses that to get away with discretion. And Ray, can you please explain to the audience what best interest of children is in the state of Ohio? Is there a statute, Ray?
There is no legal definition.
Yet they use that to take children away from their fathers and mothers, and they can do whatever they want because there's no clear and convincing evidence that's used in the family court. We use the preponderance of evidence, which absolutely gives the judge carte blanche to ruin people's lives, and you can't do anything about it. Even if you go to the appeals court, which I did, that is still, you're going to the same people that basically will throw that back into the family court's hands. So Ray is well-versed in this, but I wanted to go back to the math for 1 minute. So these are just statistics. 80% of all divorces are initiated by women in the United States. 90% of college-educated women initiate divorce in the United States. 90% custody goes to the women. And 97% of alimony payments go from the mother, from the man to the woman. So I just want, that's basic math. So that's what I wanted Ray. Ray and I have been working on this for I don't even know how long. I want those statistics to be out there because fathers are getting railroaded in family court every day. And my only advice to you fathers out there that are in the same situation as myself or anybody else is you must go for full custody every time. Don't let these lawyers tell you any different. You must go for full custody. And you hopefully you land at equal custody at the worst case scenario. But the laws need to be written so the starting point is equal custody. But if you really want to do what's best for the children, you need to change these laws to correlate with the statistical data that children always do better with fit fathers as the primary custodial parent in these situations.
All right, we're going to, you're absolutely right. I was just listening. In fact, I wish I had loaded it in as a clip, and that these were these women psychologists. They were females, and they were saying the stats are very clear. Single men make much better parents than single women, and it's because they're more conservative. So now let's do this. We're going to open up the phone lines. We're going to take some calls. And so the phone lines are now open at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. The phone lines are open. If you're out there listening to what we're saying here, when you agree or you disagree or you got your own story, give us a call here and tell us what your situation is because you're right. It's not a level playing field. And what we need to do is we need to get the courts the lawyers. Jesus said, woe unto your lawyers, woe unto your lawyers, woe unto your lawyers. Out of the marriage and the family. That belongs in the church. It doesn't belong in the courts. The corruption is so bad. And again... You know, here, one of the things I learned, fellas, this is years and years, 50 years ago when I first got in a prison ministry, I realized that all of these guys that I was ministering to came from homes with no families, with no fathers, rather. And I thought the first thing that came to my mind would be that being raised by a single mother, you would have thought that that would have made them grow closer, you know, in a situation where hardship and the sons depend upon the mothers and the mothers depend upon their sons. And that's what I thought. But then I found out that that wasn't the case. In many cases, these men really ended up hating their mothers. And the reason for that was because often these single women would bring their boyfriends home. And their boyfriends would come home and without the father. And these boys would, and not just the boys, the girls too, often they would be angry at their mother, for trying to replace their father with one of their boyfriends. And often that ended up in abusive situations. So hang tight. We'll be back right after this.
He made the ground, the mountains high and the earth round.
And I saw God become a man and hung upon a cross by love. The Ancient of Days came to teach us his ways.
Give him all your love, give him all your praise.
Hanging on a cross there, he took my place because of love.
Can't see him with your eyes, touch him with your hands. The Son of God became a man, strong enough to change the heart of any man. This man called love. He will lift you up, he won't let you down. Take your broken life, turn it all around. Ever since time, nothing's ever been found stronger than love.
Some men are like me, don't question or doubt.
Strengthen their faith day in and day out.
Sins all forgiven, all blotted out. A man called love. Then I see how I've been blessed.
Got a home in heaven, the very best.
Then I know by God this world was blessed. A man called love.
Can't see him with your eyes, touch him with your hands. The Son of God became a man, strong enough to change the heart of any man. This man called love. He will lift you up, he won't let you down. Take your broken life, turn it all around. Ever since time, nothing's ever been found stronger than love. Can't see him with your eyes, touch him with your hands. The Son of God became a man, strong enough to change the heart of any man. This man called love. He will lift you up, he won't let you down. Take your broken life, turn it all around. Ever since time, nothing's ever been found stronger than love.
Alrighty. And that was Potentate. There's nothing stronger than love. And that was the real Joe Clark, who's going home to be with the Lord. And that was old Pastor Ernie with him, too. So... All right, we're back, and we have Sister Mary Grace. Sister Mary Grace, you're in the air.
Yes, we are. I listened to your show, and you were talking about Michelle Obama and them, and I will tell you, we can't have a fraternity up there. They're both men.
Correct.
God's not going to have it either.
Well, we're living in strange times, aren't we?
Oh, and, especially when she gave him that black eye because he was cheating on her. She's got a bigger hoo-ha than he does. God bless you.
All right. Thank you, Mary. Mary Grace, God bless.
Thank you.
All right. All right. There you go. You see, somebody's telling on Obama. Who was it, the comedian that had died? And I'm trying to think of her name. Before she died, Joan Rivers, she came out and she dropped a big dime on all of that, on Michelle, and she said, heck, everybody in Hollywood is aware of it. But, and again, I think every day the fake news media wakes up and says, how can we fool them today? All right, we have Clifford. Clifford's got something to say about this. Hey, Clifford.
Yeah, I have two things I want to bring up. The first thing is, I'm listening to this audio book, How Emotions Are Made, by Lisa Barrett, and chapter 11 is a long chapter on emotions and court, and I'm wondering in the family court if any of the participants or coach could display certain emotions to sway the judge. So that's my first question. The second question...
Yeah, they sure are, but go ahead.
I'll bring up both, and then I'll just listen. The second thing relates a little bit more to the study and the Justice Department. It's Hosea chapter 7, verses 1-3. It's talking about people, pleasing the princes and not considering the retribution of God, but also the princes could be anybody a little bit higher up, or it could represent Satan or Baphomet.
Okay, hold on. Ray, one of you guys is making an awful lot of noise there, and it's really coming out loud. And,
not on me.
Okay, well, both of you sit still, grasp your hands, and don't touch anything, okay? Now, let me say, you were talking about Hosea 7. What was your question with it? Clifford, you were talking about Hosea chapter 7.
He's hung up.
All right. Well, I didn't get what he had to say there. Okay. Very good. Well, anyhow, his question.
I think the first part of his question was: you think the participants in the family court system are coached in any way by their attorneys to affect the outcome? That was the first part.
Boy, are they! But go ahead. I'll let you guys talk about that.
Well, fathers are often told, don't show any emotion. And then the mothers are coached by their attorneys, show fear.
Right. Yeah. The only thing they wanted me to do was keep quiet, shut my mouth, and don't speak up. And don't show any emotion because, you know, it doesn't look good. And you can't disagree with them. So that was the only my memory of it was, you know, just keep quiet and let me do the talking, meaning my attorney. But Ray has way more experience and more stories than I do.
All right.
We got feedback there. No, it's we get each of these courts has what they call a mediation session or a social services type wing. It's, you know, they're trying to negotiate, get people to negotiate a settlement rather than going to court. That whole scheme was started by and suggested by Judy Nicely from Summit County when she was head of the Judges Association, and Summit County was one of the first ones to have that. Now, I can tell you this. I had to go through that during one of my custody battles. We had to meet with a mediator from, they call it Family Court Services. And we're sitting at a table with this mediator, my ex, and myself. Now, she was filing for sole custody. And the mediator turned to my ex and said, what would it take for you to settle this today? And my ex said, for him to give me sole custody. And I just very calmly, and I will quote myself because I was in the presence of two women, and I said, there's not a snowball's chance in you know where of that ever happening.
And that's also happened to me. I went to mediation. I wanted to get into an equal parenting situation. Mediation is the biggest waste of time. If you can't agree without mediation, there's no way you're going to agree at mediation. That is just a money grab for the mediator. So we ended up in court. So Ray is spot on.
The mediator at that point turned to me and said, what would it take for you to settle this today? And I said, for her to give me sole custody. The mediator, the next words out of her mouth was, that's less than she has now. And deadpan looked, I looked right straight across the table at this woman and said, funny, you didn't make that comment when she said the same thing to me.
Already.
And my attorney was, we were upstairs talking. It was after this had happened. And he said, the courtroom, the waiting area was upstairs, and family court services was downstairs. And John and I were sitting and talking, and we're joking around. He goes, boy, they sure don't like you downstairs. I said, oh, family court services? He goes, yes. And I looked at him, and I said, well, it's not their job to like me. It's their job to protect the best interest of my son. I said, let me tell you a little story. And I told him what had been said to me down there. Well, we had our hearing, and it was just status quo. John and I are walking out. We had to walk past the door to leave the building to get to the parking lot. We always parked across the street. And John says, you know, we always kind of raced each other to pay for each other's parking. And, you know, it was just kind of a private joke between us. And that day we're walking out, and John turns to me and he says, you go ahead. I've got to make a stop. I said, you want me to go in with you? He goes, no, I want to handle this one by myself. And he went in and he lit him up. And he lit up the head and the person that said that to me. We don't have attorneys like that anymore.
No.
We have a few.
Yeah. Praise
and
the good
we
Lord
have some
for the
very good ones, and I know some very good ones.
Yeah.
But we have a lot more that would rather, oh, this is what the court give you because this is what they've done before. No. Right. Rod,
I hear you.
Exactly. Ray is dead spot on. Every attorney, they don't want to offend anybody. They don't want to make waves. They want to try to get this through the system as quickly as possible, as painless as possible, while you're paying $300 to $400 an hour. There's no winner take all. They know they cut deals on the side. They keep you away from, you know, the negotiation. So it's the game is fixed, fellas. You know,
alrighty.
And it's just never going to change until I hate to use the word revolution that us as men demand our equal rights.
All right, very good. Who did we have styled? Did you say in Texas there, Robert? You're in the air.
Yeah, Robert Garza. So
go ahead.
I was in the movie We the Parents. That was one of the five or six parents that were in that movie. It's out of Ohio. I went through family court and ended up being, spent $700,000 in family court just to be a dad in my two children's lives. I ended up going through about 14 years of it, went through 43 plus false allegations, and they were all false, but and ended up getting my children in the end, joint custody or whatever, but are you there?
Yeah, we're here.
I
can hear it too, but go ahead.
Okay, sorry about that. And then ended up changing the law in Texas for false allegations.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what is your suggestion for us to do in Ohio? How did you even get there? We can't get these legislators to do anything. How did you get there? Maybe you could give us some advice because we're not getting anywhere.
Yeah, of course. So I went all the way as high as Trump to talk to him and Ted Cruz and everybody and ended up being like, you know, I thought, because I knew nothing about law, and then they said that, you know, you have to go to your state senator or house rep. And so I went to my state senator and spoke to her, proposed a bill. So I would tell you, in any state that you're at, do not go to your state legislators or your house reps unless you have a solution for them. They're not going to find one for you. So what I did is I came out with a bill called Time Taken, Time Back. And what it does is it disincentivizes making a false allegation. So when you go through a false allegation, they're going to take away your visitation. And what my bill does is it gives that time back whenever you return the child automatically. So in my case, every time they took my children from me on a precaution for a false allegation, whenever CPS rules it out, they would give me my kid back, but they wouldn't give me my time back, even though I asked for it. So when I finally got out of family court, I ended up going to my state senator, said, look, I know how to fix this. The bill called Time Taken, Time Back, I proposed it to her. Basically, whenever they return the child, they return the time to repair that parental bond that was broken. And not one state senator or one House rep voted against it in the state of Texas. Governor Abbott in Texas signed off on it on Father's Day 2023, and it went into effect September 1st, and people are using it already. I took the discretion away from all judges in Texas, so now they can't even, they don't even have discretion on it. When they return that child, the time automatically goes back to the parent and the same type of time. So if they hijack your Christmas, your New Year's, you get two in a row. They hijack your weekends, you get their weekend. So instead of every first, third, and fifth, you have every first, second, third, fourth, fifth until your time is given back.
Well, Robert, it sounds like you and Ray ought to get together and Mike and come up with that bill, like you said. And I would go to more than one state legislator and one state senator. I would go to several with that, but and say, look, here.
Well, here's it passed in Texas. And now I went to Ted Cruz and John Cornyn because the reason it can go federal, and this is what I need your guys' help with, the reason it can go federal is because they're violating your Fifth Amendment right for due process, you know, innocent until proven guilty, and then also your 14th Amendment right is care, custody, and control. So because they're violating those two amendments or even one amendment, then you can actually take a bill federal because of that. And so there's not one state legislator that can argue against it. It's like you just simply ask them if they're taking your parental right away on a precaution and they return that child because it's false and it's ruled out, who's going to vote against it and say no? They would look very one-sided for sure.
Oh, there are
–
there
great, were, but can I,
yeah.
This Pastor Joe, I think you guys ought to right now stay on the line – and tonight give your contact information to Stiles,
sure,
and he can pass it back and forth, and you guys can maybe meet or get together on the phone tomorrow or something. But hang on. I'm sure Stiles would help you cross information.
But all these people that you're speaking to, that's what they need to understand and learn, is that when they're taking your parental right away on a precaution and not returning it, they're violating, even without my bill, they're violating two amendments right there. And so as long as you say, you know, that, you know, and then they're adding insult to injury on top of it if they don't give that time back to repair that parental bond. The way you word it, they can't say no pretty much. So.
Very good. That's very good. All right. How much time do I have, Style?
Sure.
Style, how much time do I have left? Okay, very good. Fellas, we're out of time for tonight. You guys go ahead, stay on the line, and each of you give Style your information, and he'll give it to each other. So you guys need to get in contact with each other. And then keep me informed on your progress because, you know, we got to keep on top of this. We can do it. Okay. All righty. Joe, you've got about 4 minutes to give an invitation. Can you do it?
I sure can. Be glad to, especially considering what we've been hearing tonight about divorce and children, the bitterness. I think a lot of the problem, the women want to get even. They feel hurt. They're going to get even, and just causing more destruction and pain by getting even hurts the children themselves, society. The answer to most everything is Jesus Christ, and what we're losing in this country is our faith in God Almighty. The most important decision isn't really even who you marry, children. It's where you're going to spend eternity. And what do you need to know, you know, to make your decision about where you're going to spend eternity? You're going to go to either heaven or hell. God's given choices. And he says there's only one way to heaven, It's not through a church. It's not through a denomination, a philosophy, good works, you know, being moral, hoping. It is going through being a born-again believer. Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe, wants to save you, save your soul, forgive you of your sins, give you eternal life. And we need to not be persuaded, run away by a world of sin, indifference, a world of hate and anger, of getting even, of, all the things that we were talking about tonight. So you can't save yourself. You have to be saved and be forgiven, and there's no other way. You have to call upon God the Father. And from a truly repentant heart, you have to understand that your sins placed his precious, precious Son upon that cross. Jesus went to that cross to take your place. He took my place, Pastor Ernie's place. He paid the price for the sins, my sins, Ernie's sins, the sins of the world, for those who would accept what he did for us, his substitutionary death. And if we realize our sins did that and we call upon Father God and confess from the heart that we are so sorry that he had to die for us, pay that price. We deserve the death, but he did it for us. We will be forgiven, and then we can call upon Jesus Christ, creator of the universe, supreme judge of the universe. And we ask him that we want him to be Lord of our life. We want to become that born-again believer. We want Jesus, give ourselves to him completely, without hesitation, without reservation. We do it willingly. He will accept that, and he will give us that down payment on eternal life, that indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. We become our own high priest. We become the holy temple of God. We have his indwelling within us. We become a born-again believer, child of the kingdom, a joint heir with Jesus in everlasting life, and you will find peace and joy and happiness that you've never found.
1 minute,
Joe. You will
Joe.
Look at life differently, everything differently. And it will be the greatest decision that you will ever make. And if you make that, your life will start to change for the better right away. And that's about it. Jesus said it. I believe it. And the scripture, if you're not sure, you need to get to a pastor, talk to somebody, start reading the Gospel of John, and make that decision before it's too late. Many will not be here tomorrow to make that decision. It'll be too late then, right, Pastor?
Well, you're right. And the important thing that I always emphasize, Joe, is, again, people, when you hear the invitation, when someone gives that invitation out there, he's just the messenger. You have to understand, you heard that because God wanted you to hear that message. In other words, God had just given you an invitation. He's asking you. So we're out of time for tonight. So until tomorrow, we want to say, as we always say, good night.
Good night.
God bless.
God bless.
And always, always keep fighting the fight.
Fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left. Hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.